Terence Henry Stamp. He was born July 22nd, 1938, in Stepney, East London, right in the shadow of the Blitz. His family lived modestly. His father was a tugboat stoker on the Thames. Nights were spent in shelters, waiting for the bombs to stop dropping. For a boy, it was a world shaped by tension, pauses, and survival. Just like in music, the rest was a part of the song. Growing up in Plastow, Stamp, he was not a star pupil. He was restless, easily bored by the classroom, but he found escape in the cinema. He would sit for hours watching Gary Cooper, James Dean, and Marlon Brando. These men became his teachers. They showed him that acting, it wasn't about pretending. It was about presence. He studied them obsessively, not in books, but in darkened theaters, absorbing how they moved, how they looked, how they held space. Before he ever touched a stage, Stamp worked a string of very odd jobs. He clerked in offices, stocked shelves in a London co-op, and did the sort of work that left him tired, but determined. Like many young men of his generation, he then served 2 years of national service in the British Army. Discipline, routine, endurance, it all became a part of him. But even in uniform, he kept his dream alive. When he finished service, he decided that he could not ignore it anymore. He applied to the Webber Douglas Academy of Dramatic Art in London. For the first time, Stamp had training to match his natural charisma. He learned voice, posture, and craft. He still carried that working-class grit, though, into every single role, and that mix, polish and toughness, it set him apart. His big break came when director Peter Ustinov spotted him and cast him in Billy Budd in 1962. Stamp was only 24 years old. He was in his first major role, and he wound up earning an Academy Award nomination and a Golden Globe. Critics compared him to Marlon Brando, but audiences saw him as something so different. A young man who could hold the screen with nothing more than his gaze. He didn't need fireworks. He had presence. 3 years later in The Collector, he took that presence to unsettling places. As Freddie Clegg, a quiet man with a dangerous obsession, Stamp played it understated. A lowered gaze. A careful breath. And suddenly a simple scene became charged with menace. He won Best Actor at Cannes Film Festival. Critics said he had the rare ability to make the ordinary feel dangerous. To make the audience do half the work just by how he held the room. Stamp once recalled Marlon Brando pulling him aside early in his career and saying, "Don't act, just behave." That simple line became his compass. It explained why he could do so much with so little. Instead of chasing easy fame, Stamp took risk. He went to Europe, working with Pierre Paolo Pasolini, all the way over in Teorama, and Federico Fellini in Spirits of the Dead. These were not safe choices. They were bold. In Teorama, he played a mysterious visitor who disrupts a family just by being there. Stamp's presence became the story itself. He wasn't just acting in films. He was stretching what film could be. By the mid-1970s, frustrated with Hollywood, Stamp disappeared from the spotlight. He spent several years in India, studying spiritual practice and living simply. Those years gave him a calmness and authority that would later define his screen work. And it even informed the cookbooks he wrote on healthy eating. His return to mainstream cinema was seismic. He was General Zod in Superman and Superman 2. Stamp built one of the great villains in movie history. He didn't snarl. He didn't need to. He didn't need to shout. He stood tall, voice steady and unyielding, and he made authority look inevitable. These words, "Kneel before Zod," it became part of pop culture. He showed that command doesn't come from volume. It comes from certainty. Stamp never stopped evolving. In Steven Soderbergh's The Limey in 1999, his weathered face and clipped delivery carried decades of life experience. You didn't need his backstory. You could see it written in him. Younger audiences knew him as Chancellor Valorum in Star Wars The Phantom Menace. Another generation recognized his voice in Halo 3 and The Elder Scrolls Oblivion. Few actors carried their presence across so many generations, from Swinging London to Superman, from Soderbergh to Star Wars, and from the stage to the controller in your hand. Outside the spotlight, Stamp, he never stopped creating. He wrote 3 memoirs, Stamp Album, Coming Attractions, and Rare Stamps, as well as a novel and even cookbooks that championed healthy eating before it was even popular. In the 1960s, his striking looks made him a fixture of Swinging London, photographed alongside Julie Christie and Gene Shrimpton, while his brother Chris managed The Who and Jimi Hendrix. Decades later, a still from the collector ended up on a Smiths album cover, proof that his image traveled through music and culture as easily as film. On August 17th, 2025, Terrence Stamp passed away at the age of 87. Tributes came in from filmmakers, actors, critics, and fans. They spoke of elegance, depth, authority, and a rare gift. The ability to hold a scene with a glance. Terrence Stamp's life is proof that presence is its own kind of power. He proved that greatness, it isn't in the lines, but in the weight behind them. For over 60 years, Terrence Stamp showed us that just like in music, the rest was part of the song. These are Interesting Things with JC.